Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome to Sound Off. This is Darcia Stebbins and Kenny Enney here in studio. And we are here waiting to hear from you, what you would like to talk about on Open Mic Friday. So much going on, the world stage, the national, local, California, lots in the news. How do we cover it all? But there are certain things that seem to be more impactful, and there's nothing more than the economy and specifically your own finances, your own pocketbook, your own back pocket, your own wallet. So we have some information today concerning the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. PRJUSD, and Kenny, of course, is a trustee on the board there.
So my comments represent only my own opinions. I'm not the opinions of any other board members, KPRL, or the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District.
And yes, I was going to go into that. These are our opinions. However, they are somewhat informed, and we want to just highlight what is happening and going forward, appears to be going forward with a bond measure for the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. And we've been talking about it over the last several weeks. Thank you, Kenny, for sitting in a solo last week. For me, I did attend the new California State Convention, fourth out of five conventions across the state, where we are restoring California and potentially having a new California state to help save both states. Anyway, that convention was great. I just wanted to do a shout out to our local people that were speakers there, Kathleen Goebel, on AI, and she does a great presentation. And then also Greg Graywall concerning water resources, the government authority, and how things are shaping up for California. There was also a great presentation by Ron Geiss, who is Kern County Oil and Gas. And learn some things about that. We might be able to talk about those a little bit later on today. But back to the school board.
I got a stack on oil and gas. So, well, I guess my going in question to everybody is: have you been taxed enough lately? Do you feel that you are getting your money's worth from the taxes that are being imposed upon you, or are you ready for some more? As I've been predicting for the last couple of weeks since January, the board is looking to push another bond measure. That bond measure, they first briefed it to the board on January 13th, I think it was, beginning in January. Well, it's on the agenda for this coming Tuesday.
And if we wanted to attend this coming Tuesday's board meeting, how would we do that?
It is on Niblick Road at the district office, and I have no idea what the address of the building is, but
it's across from the high school.
But it is an information item K1, and the title is General Obligation Bond Survey Results. However, when you read through the presentation, there are no bond survey results published. So I've asked for them. I think under the Brown Act, everything's supposed to be provided 72 hours in advance. So they have until this afternoon. But if you look through the presentation that's going to be given on Tuesday, it really doesn't say anything more except what it's already said. It's a big sales pitch. There's a lot of Me Too in there. Look at all these other school districts around the county that have gotten bond measures. We're entitled to one too, is kind of the theme.
And the ones that have occurred is Lucia Marr in the November 2024 election.
That's more than
Lucia Marr School District. Well, just for that election, yeah, Templeton and Atascadero.
Since 2004, Lucia Marr has had three. One in 2004, one in 2016, and one in 2024. San Luis Coastal has had two. Atascadero has had three. Santa Maria has had two, and Paso Robles has had two, and ours have totaled $115 million. I'll skip Santa Maria. Lucia Marr's the and $334 million. San Luis Coastal is $526 million, and Atascadero is $285 million. So, I guess the point of that slide is that we're not giving enough. But looking at the way ahead, I'll give you the schedule coming up here, and. They're going to bring forward the resolution as an information item on the 28th, which is Tuesday. Then on May 12th, 2026, present draft resolution, ballot language, and necessary legal documents as an information item. And then on May 26th, present final resolution, ballot language, and necessary legal documents as an action item. Deadline to file resolution with the county is June 16th. So I haven't hidden my position from anyone, whether it's the board or the citizenry of Paso Robles and the local area. But right now, if you go back and you look at the money that they're asking for, it hasn't been solidified. I haven't seen a final number.
I was hearing $220 million.
That was the high end. It's been down to $178 million. When you look at the presentation for Tuesday night, it says that the per board policy 7412, the board recognizes that school facilities are an essential component of educational program and that the board has a responsibility to ensure the district's facilities, blah, 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 blah. Basically saying that, you know, the board wants this. We haven't voted on it yet, so I don't think that's true. But when you look at the overview of the obligation bond, there really isn't any requirement. And that's the biggest problem I've had with this all along is I'm used to working with people that you say, here's my requirement. And you go to the money people and you say, this is my requirement and how much money I need to accomplish my requirement.
And some options.
Give me some money and then I'll figure out what to do with it, which is kind of the way we're doing this right now. I haven't heard anything more than some nice to haves. This money is all supposed to be spent at the high school, so it will affect San Miguel, basically the entirety of the Joint Unified School District, unlike Measure M, which was just for the elementary schools and middle schools. But when I look at the requirements, what they say are requirements for the high school, they want a new...
there was the gymnasium.
Yeah, they don't call them those anymore. They don't call it that anymore. It's a multi-function room or something like that where they can seat the entirety of the school campus. Well, they got a football field right there. That's in my opinion, big enough. They want air conditioning for the gym. They want new teacher's lounges, things like that. And those are nice to haves. They're not must haves. And right now, when you look across the state, going back to the tax issue, this state's, you know, upside down already. And it's going to get harder and harder. The cost of living is going to get worse and worse, I think, for the citizens of the state of California. I want to get into some of the gas stuff later on. Another series of good articles out of the California Globe on that. But now is not the time to be asking for more money. And you know who agrees with me?
I can only guess.
Kurt DeBost agrees with me. He wrote a piece in the Paso Robles Daily News, his little monthly.
But he was there during the time where it was okay to ask for money?
Well, that was his predecessor, in all fairness to Kurt. And that was Williams that asked. That wasn't done under Kurt. But, you know, DeBost has kind of the same attitude that I have on this. It's now is not the time. You need to focus on academic performance, restoring trust and confidence with the community. And eventually we're going to need to do a bond measure. I don't think you need to do these gigantic bond measures asking for hundreds of millions of dollars. Have a targeted bond measure. Say, I want $25 million to build a CTE or a vocational arts building, and then show that you can do that.
I'd actually support that.
Yeah.
Industrial arts.
Yeah.
Where you have actual training.
A target, not... Let's just ask for a whole hell of a... Oops, sorry, can I say that on the radio? a whole heck of a lot of money, and then figure out how we're going to spend it. It's not a good way of doing business. And what I've proposed to Loftist and to the rest of the board is kick this back to 2028. That gives the district 3 academic school years to improve academic performance. You know, again... Where's my little cheat sheet? When we look at the CASP scores, which in my opinion matter more than your A's, B's, C's, and D's.
And those are the standardized.
And those are the state standardized test scores. In 2015 and 2016, you know, prior the year that previous bond measure, Measure M, was voted on, 49% of the school district met or exceeded standards in English, language, arts, and 36% met or exceeded standards in math. That's not good. You want to know what it is now? Now, it's 43.94% met or exceeded standards in English, language, arts, and 29.98% met or exceeded standards in math. It's gone down. I mean, the bond measure has not demonstrated that it has improved anything. If you want to use that as a metric, which Nathan Williams said that should be a metric, if that's your metric, it's not working for us.
Well, even then, so if you have, so there are ways to measure performance, and that's one of them. But just pragmatically, you have declining enrollment over the years. And likely to continue. Is there anything that seems to be different in demographics about?
No, there've been a series of really good articles. I think one was in the Epic Times as well. But the state of California has lost 600,000 students enrolled under the Gavinator.
How many businesses? Yeah. How many people?
And that's part. Yeah, you know, that's part and parcel of the exodus from the state. That's something that the state's going to have to, and the community's going to have to address. We're going to also discuss, this is probably another important topic that's going to be discussed on Tuesday, but the labor agreements with Paso Robles Public Educators and the California School Employees Association. And I'll throw this out. The head of the California School Employees Association used to always say, "We're the good union," which I always thought was funny. I don't know who they're affiliated with, but PRP is affiliated with the California Teachers Association, who's just endorsed Tom Steyer as their choice for governor.
I think it's something like 95 or 96% of the the dues go toward.
Oh yeah, I could. I got all those numbers if you want to go.
Party.
If you want to go do that. But the that's going to be discussed, and we're going to have to discuss the mitigation, because a couple of weeks ago I was all excited that it looked for the, looked like for the first time in 10 years, the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District was going to have a balanced budget. Well, we had to do this. This agreement, and as a result, it's going to put us back in the red. Not as bad as it has been, but still, over the next 3 years, we're going to wind up with the deficit shrinking from 500 and something thousand down to 200 and something thousand down to zero. Well, I think we could probably find the money when we get down into the hundreds of thousands in this district. You know, we can take away government credit cards and probably knock off $150,000 to $200,000 a year by taking those away. There's a lot of ways we can cut money, but you know, one of the things I'm going to bring up, if you look at those slides, part of the mitigation for that is to cut math teachers. Well, and then later on, we're talking about hiring people. Good afternoon, caller. How are you?
Hi, Gary and gal. Hey, I have a question. A couple of years ago or more, the school board passed a resolution approving the materials and programs that were considered sufficient to meet the needs of our school kids, especially at the high school. And at that time, the test scores were still way down. So I went to the head of the teachers union, and I said, now, if that's true, why are the test scores still staying down?
Right.
Her answer was, it's complicated. Now, is this bond issue going to do anything to improve test scores, in your opinion?
Not a thing. Now, what you said there, that's an annual requirement. We have to certify up to the state. I believe we have to certify it up to the county, and I think the county certifies to the state that, you know, we're providing all the books, all the facilities, all the instructors that are required by law. Now, I voted against that a couple of years ago, and that was because of the condition of Georgia Brown in particular, and
right.
What I felt was misrepresentation of the facility conditions in the what's called the SARC, the School Accountability Report.
Meeting the needs of the community.
Right. And what was written down in the facilities inspection report did not reflect reality. It's probably the nicest way I can put it. But again, the community is going to have to accept the fact that we are going to have to eventually do bond measures. Now, I don't think bond measures should go towards routine maintenance, which is what some individuals think the purpose of the bond measure is. Routine maintenance should be worked into your general
budget.
Fund and also your annual maintenance fund. Mrs. Loftus has established that. But the buildings, you know, I don't know. I look at things differently. I grew up in the South. And the high school building that I went to was built in the early 1800s, and it was the pride of the community. Here, you know, if something's like 30 years old, tear it down. It's antiquated. So I don't see anything on this bond measure that makes me think that it's going to dramatically improve the academic performance of the students. And
according to Podolsky, the main purpose is to build a new great big gym, multi-purpose room, that is air-conditioned. And I said, wait a minute. In this community, all we need to do is add swamp coolers on the current gym, and it'll be adequate. But why do we need a Taj Mahal at our high school?
I agree. I don't have air conditioning in my house. So,
open the window, close the window.
Yeah, open the if you know you're going to have a meeting, you know, you can open the gym up during the night and let it cool down, or have those, right. You know, the giant fan, ceiling fans. There are lots of things, but I think we're going to wind up wasting $100,000, which is how much it's going to cost to get this on the ballot. And people should start thinking. $100,000, that's another teacher right there.
Okay.
So, all right.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. All right. Short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real, Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
The Downtown Paso Robles Main Street Association is proud to once again present Vintage Rendezvous. This Saturday in the downtown city park from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Vintage Rendezvous includes British cars, sidecars, antique motorcycles, and recycled treasures. Once again, Vintage Rendezvous this Saturday, 10 to 4 at the downtown city park. Admission is free. For more info, go to pasorobelsdowntown.org. That's pasorobelsdowntown.org.
Brookside Christian Academy in Atascadero, formerly known as North County Christian, is having their first annual spring gala on May 8th at the Atascadero Lake Pavilion. Let's support this wonderful school that is providing our children with a Christian classical education and spiritual discipline, and the tools to master academic skills while pursuing the truth. The Brookside Academy Gala theme is Let Goodness Grow. Please buy your tickets or make a donation at brooksideacademy.com.
All right, we're back. We're discussing school bond measures. I'll knock this out in the next 8 minutes so Darsha can enlighten us on New California. But what we were talking about was, what is the benefit? How is this bond measure going to actually improve the academic performance of the students? And I can't find anything that really hits me in the face that says, yeah, we got to do this and it's going to dramatically improve academic performance. It's not. My proposal has been, and what I would ask the people of the community to start thinking about is, have a contract with the school district. You know, I said it earlier, but right now for the 24-25 academic school year, 43% of students in the district met or exceeded standards in English language arts and 29.98 met or exceeded standards in math. It's below state that's below the state average. State average is, I don't have it on this piece of paper, but it's about 45.
And the state average is not great.
No, it's still failing.
I mean, do the math on that.
Just,
I didn't go through.
We're failing worse than everybody else is failing. And that's, you know, when we're celebrating the fact, hey, we got 45% that actually, you know, met standards. That's horrible. You know, we'll celebrate, you know, this year, 29.9% of the graduate or of the student body is, you know, proficient in math. What was it for the 11th grade? 11th grade went up from 17% last year overall to 29% this year. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but it's still horrible. It's a huge improvement. But what I would like the district to do is basically say, look, community, we agree we got a lot of work to do. And, you know, by 2028, you know, we promise we will raise our English language arts scores 15 points and our math scores 15 points. And those are the numbers that they've told us, staff has told us, that they want to set as their goal, 5% annual improvement. Now, they can do it. It's obvious they can do it because they've demonstrated that with the 11th graders. When you ask when I asked Mrs. Loftus, this is some privileged information, I asked her in a board meeting as well, but she attributes that academic or that increase overall for the 11th graders to the fact that they couldn't get their off-campus lunch privileges unless they passed or met standards on the CASP scores.
You mean incentives work?
Yeah. Carrots and sticks. I was going to say something, but it would probably get me in trouble. It has to do with...
You already had a close call.
Yeah, I'm usually in trouble anyways. But you can do it. It's feasible. And, you know, this is where, you know, I would really like to have the community focus on how do you help incentivize? You know, I've talked about Frank Sparks Elementary School. And there's a lot of community involvement there. And, they give things away. You know, one of the things that I've talked to some people about is if you make a perfect score on your CASP, you know, I think the community should, you know, give you a scholarship check. I don't know how much it is, but, you know, you don't, right now it's only two or three kids a year that are actually making a perfect score on their standardized test. I mean, there are lots of ways to incentivize kids. You know, Frank Sparks, you know, out in Atwater, much more socioeconomically disadvantaged than Paso, much higher English learner percentage than Paso. But their English language arts is in the 70 percentile, their math is in the 60 percentile. As a school, that's amazing. But you know, what they do is they have competitions, you know, and they incentivize them, and everybody's on board, and it's all about reading as much as you can.
But, well, there is the standard, and when you have, I mean, what is the saying? I think it's Thomas Sowell who had I had it on the tip of my tongue, but the soft bias of low expectations. You know,
the bigotry of low expectations.
Yes.
So, you know, when we look at academic performance, it's got to improve. Now, I'm no fan of the teachers' unions. I don't know how we work with them in order to incentivize the teachers. You know, there are all sorts of pitfalls when you start, you know, insinuating or implying that you're going to teach to the test. But these are bare minimums. I mean, these standardized tests are supposed to be bare minimums, and there's got to be a model that's working somewhere in the laboratory of the United States that incentivizes teachers to focus on getting their class up. You know, if your class X percentage exceeds standards or meets standards, and then, you know, you get a bonus. I'm sure there are states that are doing that around the nation. But, you know, here in California, the California Teachers Association, they have absolutely no interest in improving academic performance. And the California state government, what is it, the superintendent of instruction, Tony Thurman, he could care less. You know, right now, give everybody a heads up. You know, there's an article that on May 1st, California Teachers Association is encouraging students to walk out again. And encouraging teachers to walk out. May Day. Hey, caller, I know you're out there. I know you're out there. Can you call back? Because we're going into a long break. All right. 8 minutes. Go get something to drink. Get some fresh air.
But take some deep breaths.
But be back here in 8 minutes. AM
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.